Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to our program, Basic Instructions Before Leaving Earth, B-I-B-L-E. I am your host, Christopher. During our program, please join us in our chat rooms where you can comment, ask questions, or discuss our program. You will find that on blogtalkradio.com/hallelujah-pete. You may also email us your questions at hallelujahpete@gmail.com. You may also send a text message to us with your questions or comments to area code 567-259-6043. Also, like us on our Facebook page, Basic Instructions Before Leaving Earth, B-I-B-L-E. Now here is our Bible teacher, Hallelujah Pete.
Happy Wednesday, everybody. And once again, I say unto you, my precious brothers and sisters listening out there, hallelujah, praise the Lord. And I also say thank you, Jesus, for another lesson in Basic Instructions Before Leaving Earth, B-I-B-L-E, the Bible. And there are so many versions for us to draw from, but all of our lessons and instructions will be taken this evening from the Old King James Version of the Bible. As I welcome you all to this episode tonight, I am still thrilled about the Book of Psalms that we are in. Because of this study, you know that the Book of Psalms exposes to us the most, I think, beautiful verses ever written in our Bible canon. Now, and this is worthy of note, that King David did not write all of the Psalms. He only wrote 73 of the 150 that are in our canon. Now, 12 were written by Asaph, 2 were written by Solomon, which I should say were assigned to Solomon, 1 was written by Moses, 1 was written by Ethan, and 12 others were written by the sons of Korah. Now, I highly suggest that during this study that you take your Bible sources and you open them, either your laptops or your tablets or your Bible apps or even a regular Bible, and have your pens and pencils ready for taking notes. Another reminder, every 10 minutes or so, we will have a commercial break, which I like to consider it, where during which time you may ask questions or comment or inquire if you like. Now, before we get started, I want to personally, like I always do, take this time to thank all of you, especially those who have given me feedback on the show. My brothers and sisters, I am using them or using the feedback. Thank you very much. As the theme song for the show suggests, the question for this hour is, are you standing on the promises of God or Jesus Christ? God said, and if thou wilt walk before me as David, thy father walked in integrity of heart and uprightness, to do according to all that I have commanded thee and to keep my statutes and my judgments, then I will establish the throne of thy kingdom upon Israel forever. That's taken from 1 Kings chapter 9, verse 4 and 5. Now, the promise from God, and I reference it to us, that we will have a good life if we walk with integrity of heart and uprightness and according to all the commandments and statutes and judgments of God and Jesus Christ. God said again, be not afraid nor dismayed by reason of this great multitude, for the battle is not yours, but God's. Ye shall not need to fight in this battle. set yourselves, stand ye still, and see the salvation of the Lord. The promise, that's taken from 2 Chronicles chapter 20, verse 15 through 17. Now, this is the promise, my precious brothers and sisters, that in our lives that we are confronting and besetted by sin and all other kinds of assaults, if we toe the line, obeying God's commandments, we can stand still and be assured that God will handle that for us. Now, God said again through King David, blessed is everyone that fears the Lord, that walks in his ways. The wife shall be as a fruit vine by the side of his house, and his children shall be as olive plants by his table. That's taken from Psalms 128, verse 1 through 3. The blessing is great, and it is offered to all. And if you fear the Lord, you will receive this. You will get what you need to perform and to be able to sustain yourself this side of eternity. So the question for this hour is, my precious brothers and sisters, are you standing on the promises of God in Jesus Christ? Now, before we get started, I want to let you all know, as I always do, I think this is so important, that the Bible is written in code, meaning it is written in mysteries and in secrets, in parables, in prophecies, in proverbs, in paradoxes, in riddles, and in symbols. And the only way to break this code, my precious brothers and sisters, is through study and learning. All right, let's do that. Let's study and let us learn right now. Okay, we're in the book of Psalms, as I mentioned, and there are 150 books written or chapters in the book of Psalms, and I have written 232 instructions for this study. So now we're on instruction number 82, and the instruction is what can happen when you disobey God. Did you hear that, my brothers and sisters? I want you to keep that in mind while I read the text to you. The text is Psalms 60, verse 1 through 4. Now, again, the instruction to keep in mind as I read the text is what can happen when you disobey God. This is what King David told Israel. O God, thou hast cast us off. Thou hast scattered us. Thou hast been displeased. O turn thyself to us again. Thou hast made the earth to tremble. Thou hast broken it. Heal the breaches thereof, for it is shaken. This is what happens when you disobey God. Your world will be turned upside down. Thou hast showed thy people hard times. Thou hast made us to drink the wine of astonishment. Again, if things are not doing and going well in your life, you need to turn to God to see if you're disobeying his commandments. Verse 4 concludes by saying, thou hast given a banner to them that fear thee, that it may be displayed before the truth. Selah. And you know Selah means to pause for a minute, to think about it, and then to consider it and meditate on it. And this is what we should realize, my brothers and sisters, when things are trying and are hard, we must realize that it could be because of disobedience to God. Now what we're going to do is go to our New Testament complement, and what we're going to do is turn our Bibles, if you will, turn with me to Revelations, I believe I'm going to be talking from. Nope. Yes, Revelations. And it's going to be chapter 2, verse 13 through 16. And this is what the Spirit speaking to the church is telling us at Pergamos. It is Revelations chapter 2, verse 13 through 16. The Spirit says, I know thy works, Pete, and where thou dwellest, even where Satan's seat is. And thou holdest fast my name and hast not denied my faith, even in the days wherein Antipas was my faithful martyr, who was slain among you where Satan dwelleth. The Spirit is saying, and the Spirit is representing God, I know your condition. I know where you are. You cannot hide from me. Listen to what verse 14 says. But I have a few things against thee. This is the disobedience that God is holding against us. because thou hast there them that hold the doctrine of Balaam, who taught Balak to cast a stumbling block before the children of Israel, to eat things sacrificed unto idols, and to commit fornication. My brothers and sisters, we're being influenced by the things that are around us. Hopefully it's not in our homes, but it could be. And that is disobedience to God. This is what is being told to the church at Pergamos by the Spirit. Verse 15 says, thou also hast them among thee that hold the doctrine of Nicolaitans, which thing I hate. And we can consider the doctrine of Nicolaitans ungodliness, those who are unrighteous. And again, we're being influenced. We are being influenced by them. And that is something God holds against us, my precious brothers and sisters. We cannot, birds of a feather flock together. Good company corrupt bad, or a bad company corrupt good manners. That's what Paul taught in his letters. And this is something significant for us to understand. In verse 16, the last verse completes the thought. It says, repent, or else I will come unto thee quickly and will fight against them with the sword of my mouth. We must ask for forgiveness. If we are not asking for forgiveness and we get caught up in calamity, like there may be a hurricane or a tornado or some major catastrophe, we can get caught up in it, my brothers. We must repent. And that is what the connection is. That's what happens when you are disobedient to God. And this is what it should mean to us spiritually in our lives, that when your life is problematic and you need to repent and get back closer to God, my brothers and sisters, when your life is problematic, and I will say to you, when anything that is negative occurs in your life, you need to pause and repent. You need to look back at what you've done in the past, and hopefully you're not doing the same thing in the future, and repent to God, and that'll get you what you need to get out of what is confronting you. Okay, let's go to the next instruction. Let's go back to Psalms 60. Again, we're taking another look at Psalm 60, another instruction taken from Psalm 60. And what we want to do is we're going to look at verse 6 through 8. Verse 6 through 8. And this is what David is telling Israel. And I want you to keep in mind this instruction as we look at verse 6 through 8 in Psalm 60. God announces his ownership. We are without excuse, my precious brothers and sisters. We know that what is inside of us causes us to live. That's ownership. The physical shell that is enveloping the soul, that belongs all to God, and we know it does. Now, this is what King David told Israel in Psalm 60, verse 6 through 8, about his ownership. God hath spoken in his holiness, I will rejoice. I will divide Shechem and mete out the valley of Succoth. Gilead is mine. Manasseh is mine. Ephraim also is the strength of my head. Judah is my lawgiver. What? And verse 8 says, Moab is my washpot. Over Edom will I cast out my shoe. Philistia, triumph thou because of me. What God is telling, or what David is telling Israel, that all of these episodes that they had confronting them, God is the one that is in control and owns all of it. Now what we're going to do is go to our New Testament. We're going to go to Revelation chapter 1, and we're going to look at verse 10, 11, and verse 18, and we're going to see how this complements what I just shared with you. Revelation chapter 1, verse 10 says, I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day and heard behind me a great voice as of a trumpet. And that is God announcing his ownership. Verse 11 saying, I am Alpha and Omega, the first and the last. What thou seest, write in a book and send it unto the seven churches which are in Asia, unto Ephesus, unto Smyrna, unto Pergamos, and unto Thyatira, and unto Sardis, and unto Philadelphia, and unto Laodicea. And verse 18 completes the thought when verse 18 says, I am he that liveth and was dead, and behold, I am alive forevermore. Amen. And have the keys of heaven and of hell. God announces his ownership. He has the keys of heaven and hell. He tells us that he is the Alpha and the Omega. We must respond to God, my brothers and sisters. That is the significance of what I'm trying to share. And this is the intent of it spiritually. This is what it should mean to us spiritually in our lives, that in the beginning, God says he made all things one by one in 6 days. That is the exclamation after the sentence, that God said in the beginning that he made all things, heaven and earth and the like. And that is what I want you to understand from the ownership of God, this instruction. Now let's go to the next instruction, and we're going to go back to Psalms. This time we're going to look at Psalm 61. And in Psalm 61, we're going to see this instruction. I want you to pay attention to this instruction as I read Psalm 61. Psalm 61 says, a pledge to God, a pledge to God. And this is what Psalm says. Now, we know what a pledge is, a pledge, or what I'm telling you, this pledge means this is where we make a vow, or we tell God that we will do what he commands us to do. This is our pledge. And this is what David rehearsed to Israel in Psalm 61. Hear my cry, O God, and attend unto my prayer. From the end of the earth will I cry unto thee. When my heart is overwhelmed, lead me to the rock that is higher than I. So I'm pledging, my Father, that I will cry unto thee, especially when my heart is overwhelmed. Verse 3 says, for thou hast been a shelter for me and a strong tower from the enemy. I know that the only refuge in the time of need is my God. I will abide in thy tabernacle forever. I will trust in the covert of thy wings. Selah. And this is telling us again that God, we are pledging that we know that God will take care of us if we stay close to him. For thou, O God, hast heard my vows. Thou hast given me the heritage of those that fear thy name. Thou wilt prolong the king's life and his years as many generations. He shall abide before God forever. O prepare mercy and truth, which may preserve him. So will I sing praise unto the name of the Lord forever, that I may daily perform my vows. And this is what David is rehearsing to Israel, the pledge that he had made to God. And we should be making one similar, meaning we should say that Jesus the Christ is our Lord God and Savior. You know, that is a prerequisite for the faith that we should receive from the Lord, that we confess that we believe in his son, Jesus Christ, and that only through Jesus Christ is there salvation. Now we're going to go to our New Testament complement. Turn with me to Matthew chapter 26. Matthew chapter 26, we're going to be looking at verse 38, 37, and 42. And this is what Matthew 26 says in comparison. It says, and as they were eating, Jesus took bread and blessed it and brake it and gave it to his disciples and said, take, eat, for this is my body. And then he took the cup and he gave thanks and he gave it to them saying, drink ye all of it, for this is my blood of the New Testament, which is shed for the remission of sins. And then in verse 42, he completes the thought when he tells his apostles, watch and pray that ye enter not into temptation, for the spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. And he said, do this in remembrance of me. That is the pledge that we should be making to our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, that we will remember his body and blood as long as we are this side of eternity. And this is what it should mean to us spiritually in our lives, that I will love the Lord God with my whole heart, soul, mind, and strength, and love my neighbor as myself. This is the most significant one that one could make. Our pledge is to love the Lord thy God and love our neighbor as ourselves. That is so significant, my brothers and sisters, and that's what I want you to understand as a pledge that we should make. Now we're going to go back to our New Testament complement. We're going to look at Psalm 62, Psalm 62, verse 3 and 4, Psalm 62, verse 3 and 4. And this is what I want you to pay attention to as I read the instruction. And we will be taking a break in about 3 minutes. This is what the instruction says. How long will ye imagine mischief against a man? This is what the psalmist is telling Israel. How long will ye imagine mischief against a man? And this is what David said to Israel in Psalm 62, verse 3 and 4. How long will ye imagine mischief against a man? Ye shall be slain, all of you, as a bowing wall shall ye be, and as a tottering fence. They only consult to cast him down from his excellency. They delight in lies. They are blessed with their mouths, but they curse inwardly. Selah. And again, we know what Selah is telling us to do. Pause for a minute and think about it. So how long will we imagine mischief against a man? Solomon is telling them, are they going to take their whole lives to do that? Now let's go to our New Testament complement. Matthew again, we're in the book of Matthew chapter 6. We're going to look at verse 43 and 44. Matthew chapter 6, verse 43 and 44. Matthew chapter 6, verse 43 and 44. And I am not seeing what I wanted to bring to your attention. It's not showing. It must be 43. Then what I'm going to do is we're going to now take a break, and I'm going to find out where I messed up.
You can't change your past, but Christ can. Christ can change the past by covering your sins with his blood and forgiving all the sins and mistakes you ever made. That's a wonderful thing, because God has a set of tapes in which everything you've ever said and everything you've ever done and everything you've ever thought is there and will be played at the judgment. But if you come to Christ and surrender totally to him, he wipes out the tapes. He erases the tapes. And no one will ever hear them. Somebody says, follow your conscience, but your conscience may be seared, or it may be dead. It may be no good. It'll lead you wrong. You can be sincere, but be wrong. And many of you can be sincere in your beliefs and in what you're doing and the way you're living, but deep in your heart, you're wrong. You're not going according to the scriptures. You're not going according to what Christ says. And the scripture says you must come to the cross and repent of your sins and let Christ forgive your sins from the cross and wash your sins by his own blood and receive the righteousness of God. God has an ability that you don't have. He has the ability to forget. He forgets our sins. And that's the most thrilling thought in the world, is to go to bed at night and know that your sins are forgiven. Many of you must decide this afternoon. Before you leave here, every person here will decide one way or the other about your relationship to God. Some of you need to rededicate your life to Christ. Some of you need a new experience with Christ. Others of you need to come to Christ perhaps for the first time in total surrender of your life to Him if you're going to be forgiven of your sins, if you're going to get to heaven. What about you? Do you know Christ? Are you ready for death? Because it's coming. And for some of you, there's no way out. There's pressures and troubles and trials in your life and difficulties and problems, and there seems to be no answer. It may be you and your wife. You just can't seem to make it. You love each other, and yet you don't. And you fight and you scrap. Is there any way out? Yes, there's a way. Jesus said, I am the way. The choice that some of you make today will decide where your children are going to be, where your grandchildren are going to be, what their lives are going to be like. It's the choices that we make. Moses said, I call heaven and earth to record this day that I've set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Therefore, choose life that both you and your children may live. It affected future generations. What are you going to do about it?
Welcome back to our program, Basic Instructions Before Leaving Earth, B-I-B-L-E. Now here is our Bible teacher, Hallelujah Pete.
Okay, my precious brothers and sisters, I apologize for the disconnect on instruction number 85, but I have found the New Testament compliment that I was intending to share with you. And again, just to remind you that how long will ye imagine mischief against a man? That's the instruction. We heard what David rehearsed to Israel in Psalms 62, verse 3 and 4. And now this is our New Testament compliment, which Jesus is telling us right now. How long will we have imagine mischief against a man? This is what Jesus is telling us that we must adhere to. And this is Matthew chapter 5, verse 43 and 44. And this is what Jesus says. Ye have heard that it has been said, thou shalt love thy neighbor and hate thy enemy. But listen, my brothers and sisters, but I say unto you, Jesus saying, love your enemies, bless them that curse you, do good to them that hate you, and pray for them which despisefully use you and persecute you. So how long will ye imagine mischief against a man? Not at all. Not long. Not at once. You must love your enemies. No mischief. This is the commandment of Jesus Christ. And this is what it should mean to us spiritually in our lives. That our commandment from Jesus says, we cannot hold any grudges anymore. So if you find yourself in that situation, you must repent. That's the key, my brothers and sisters. That's what I want you to know, that that is the instruction or the spiritual response that we should have from this instruction. Now let's go back to our Psalms. We're going to look at Psalm 62 again. We're going to take verse 9 and 10. And when I read it, I want you to keep in mind this instruction. Surely, men of low degree are vanity. Surely, men of low degree are vanity. And what we're talking about, not necessarily poor, but those who are predators, those who undermine and try to take advantage of others. They're doing it because of gain. And that gain is usually some type of worldly gain. And this is what Psalm 62, verse 9 and 10 says. It says, surely men of low degree are vanity, and men of high degree are a lie. And we're talking about worldliness to be laid in the balance. They are altogether lighter than vanity. This is telling us that when you're looking at worldliness, that it doesn't matter. Low degree or high degree, it's still vanity. Trust not in opposition, and become not vain in robbery. If riches increase, set your heart not upon them. This is what Solomon is telling Israel. And now we're going to go to our New Testament complement, and we're going to look at Mark chapter 8, and we're going to see how Jesus put it. Mark chapter 8, verse 36 and 37, Jesus, again, is giving us commandment. Listen to what he says about this, my brothers and sisters, about vanity. For what shall it profit a man if he shall gain the whole world and lose his soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? So Jesus is telling us vanity is unacceptable. Remember this, and this is what it should mean to us spiritually in our lives. And this is what I'm telling you to remember. It is Solomon. He says, vanity will only give you vexation of the spirit, a sore travail, or an evil disease. Remember again, Solomon told Israel, vanity of vanities. All is vanity and vexation of the spirit. So that's what I'm telling you, my brothers and sisters. So if you are in one of those categories, if your spirit is vexed, if you're upset all the time, anxious, if you're under sore travail, meaning that you're having difficulties with anything, more especially with pestilence and diseases, if you have a sore travail, if you're going through a crisis that is causing you to want to check out of the life that you're living, let me tell you something, an addiction or something of that nature, you need to check yourself, because you're looking at worldliness and not godliness. And the key to get out of that is repentance through godliness. Okay, let's go back again to the book of Psalms. We're going to go now to Psalm 63, and we're going to take a look at verse 1 through 8 in Psalm 63. And this is the instruction I want you to keep in mind as I read the text to you, a way to seek God. Now, this is what David is rehearsing to Solomon. There are many ways to seek God, okay, my brothers and sisters? But David is rehearsing this to Israel. This is one of the ways, or the ways he suggests we seek God. And this is what he says in Psalm 63, verse 1 through 8. O God, thou art my God. Early will I seek thee. My soul thirsts for thee. My flesh longeth for thee in a dry and thirsty land where no water is, to see thy power and thy glory, so as I have seen thee in the sanctuary. Because thy loving kindness is better than life, my lips shall praise thee. Again, seeking God early. As soon as you realize that it is the spirit that is motivating or orchestrating your life, you should start seeking that which is within, and that is God. Verse 4 says, thus will I bless thee while I live. I will lift up my hands in thy name. Again, seeking God, worshiping and praising him. Jesus said that those that seek God must seek him, and I'm probably going to read this as a connection in the New Testament, must seek him in spirit and in truth, or worship him in spirit and in truth. Verse 5 says, my soul shall be satisfied as with marrow and fatness, and my mouth shall praise thee with joyfulness. Again, you must extol the Lord God with your lips. When I remember thee upon my bed and meditate on thee in night watches. Meditation is the way you seek God, because thou hast been my help. Therefore, in the shadow of thy wings, I will rejoice. My soul followeth hard after thee. My right hand upholdeth thee. That is how we seek God. These are some of the ways that David was teaching Israel how to seek God. Now let's go to our New Testament complement, and we're going to look at John chapter 4, verse 23 and 24. And this is what Jesus says in John chapter 4, verse 23 and 24, but the hour has come, and now is, when the true worshipers, the true seekers, shall worship and seek the Father in spirit and in truth. For the Father seeketh such to worship him. God is a spirit, and they that follow or worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. So worshiping God is a part of seeking him. And that's what Jesus is telling us today. That's what we must do. And this is what it should mean to us spiritually in our lives. It should mean both spirit and flesh is required of God from man. Who will come to God? Both body and soul and mind. We must seek God with all our heart, with all our might, with all our strength, with all our soul. And that is what we should be doing. And that's the instruction I want you to understand from this lesson. Now we're going to take a break before we continue.
John Maxwell here. Welcome to Minute with Maxwell. When I was in my middle 20s, I had a man by the name of Kirk Kattmeyer basically teach me that growth was not automatic. If I wanted to grow, I would have to be intentional. The first course that I took in this intentional growth of my life was a course by Success Motivational Institute out of Waco, Texas, and it was a goal-setting kit. It had cassette tapes, it had a workbook, and it basically taught us a lot about how you set your goals. And the greatest value I had out of that entire training was not how just to set goals, but how to achieve those goals. You see, what good is it if we set a goal and then we don't get there? And yet I see many people, they seem to be content with always what they're going to do, but never what they did. I know people, you know them too, they're always getting ready to get ready, and you think, wow, when are they going to start doing this? Here's what I know. You can do goal setting with a pencil, but you have to do goal getting with your legs. You got to take action. And it's the action that separates us. The greatest gap in this world is the gap between knowing and doing. Knowing is goal setting. Doing, now that's goal achieving. My name is John. I'm glad you're with me today.
Welcome back to our program, Basic Instructions Before Leaving Earth, B-I-B-L-E. Now here is our Bible teacher, Hallelujah Pete.
Okay, my precious brothers and sisters, here we go again, back to Psalm 64. We're going to be looking at verse 1 and verse 7 through 10. Psalm 64, we're going to read verse 1 and then verse 7 through 10. And what I'd like for you to do is keep in mind this instruction as I read the text to you. Call out to God to protect you from your enemies. Did you hear that, my brothers and sisters? We need to call out to God to protect us from our enemies. That does not mean that we don't call the fire department or the police department or call out for someone physically to help us, but we should preface that with, help me, Lord, and the Lord should be the one to direct you to continue that physical action to get you out of the crisis you're in. So call out to God to protect you from your enemies. And this is what David rehearsed to Israel in Psalm 64, verse 1. He says, hear my voice, O God, in my prayer. Preserve my life from fear of the enemy. And our enemy is death. And in death, there is pain. And sickness and sorrow and affliction. And that's what we should be doing, calling out to God immediately upon the incursion of that. And this is what verse 7 through 10 says. And this is what David again is telling Israel they should do. But God shall shoot at them with an arrow. Suddenly shall they be wounded. So they shall make their own tongue to fall upon themselves. All that see them shall flee away, and all men shall fear and shall declare the work of God, for they shall wisely consider his doings. The righteousness shall be of God in the Lord, and shall trust in him, and all of the upright in heart show glory. This is telling us that we should, and he's speaking to them as if there is an enemy that's following him. And of course, we know that that enemy was Saul at the time, but it's still spiritually, we should understand that when something assails us, that we should call out to the Lord God for help, and then he will assist us in getting physical assistance if that is what we need. And now what we're going to do is go to 1 Peter, and we're going to see what the book of Peter tells us in comparison and agreeing with this. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 1. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 1. And I should say verse 7. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 7. And this is what Peter tells us. Cast all your cares upon him, for he cares for you. And Peter is telling us exactly where David pointed to before we read this particular psalm. Early on in David, it says in Psalms 55, verse 22, that cast your burdens upon the Lord, for he shall sustain you. He will never allow the righteous to be moved. And we know that Jesus also taught this to be critical. If you're going to follow Jesus, you must deny yourself and pick up your cross. You cast your burdens upon Jesus. So when you cry out to the Lord, it should be immediate, and then you will receive that which you need in order to get you out of what is confronting you. And this is what it should mean to us spiritually in our lives, that the Bible teaches us that God's our only refuge in the time of need. You hear that, my precious brothers and sisters? The Bible, B-I-B-L-E, Basic Instructions Before Leaving Earth. We're talking about from Genesis through Revelations, all the way through, there are examples that lead us to know that calling out to God, our refuge, will get us the protection that we need in the time of trouble. Okay, let's go back to Psalms 65 this time. We're going to see what Psalm 65, verse 4 says. Psalm 65, verse 4 is the next psalm that we're going to look at. And this is what the instruction that I want you to pay attention to as I read the psalm. Blessed is the man whom thou choosest. That is of major importance, my brothers and sisters, to realize that we are all special vessels. When God created the heavens and the earth, and then he said, let us make man out of our own image and likeness, at the end of that, he said, end of the chapter, that he looked upon all that he had made, and behold, it was very good. All of us are special vessels to God, meaning all of us have been chosen. And there are different blessings that we receive from being chosen. Now, this is what David told Israel in Psalm 65, verse 4. Blessed is the man whom thou choosest and causest to approach unto thee, that he may dwell in thy courts, and we shall be satisfied with the goodness of thy house, even of thy holy temple. My brothers and sisters, what Solomon is telling Israel, that because of your blessedness, you're being chosen. Now, you may be chosen, and I'll put it as Paul taught it. We're all members of the same body. Some of us are hands. Some of us are feet. Some of us are eyes. Some of us are ears. We are all members of the same body. We have been chosen to be members of the same body. So there is a blessing for each one of us. Our blessings may be different and various, but there is a blessing. And the key is that God will provide and feed us what we need to get through the rest of this experience we're having this side of eternity if we follow his commandments. That critical, my precious brothers and sisters. Now let's go to our New Testament complement. We're going to go and look at Romans chapter 8. Verse 29, 30, and 31, and this is how Paul puts it. And again, it's telling us of our creation being chosen. And this is what Paul says, for whom he did foreknow, meaning he created us, he also predestinated to give us what we need, to conform to the image of his son, that he may be the first fruit among the brethren. So we are to be like Jesus. This is how we have been chosen, and our blessings come from that response to being chosen. Now, verse 30 says, moreover, whom he did predestinate, whom he created in the beginning, whom he predestinated, them he also called. And whom he called, them he also justified. And whom he justified, them he also glorified. My precious brothers and sisters, there's the blessings. That is what Paul is identifying. There are the blessings. We have predestined to do what we're supposed to do for Jesus Christ. And if we do what we're supposed to do for Jesus Christ, we will get our blessing. And it will be enough to not only get us through this experience we're having inside of eternity, but to get the salvation we should be seeking. And this is what it should mean to us spiritually in our lives, that God, that God's will that all mankind be saved. Jesus came to seek and to save that which is lost. He gave his life for the lost sheep. So that is the reason that we are chosen by God, is to be a part of his heaven, to be a part of his eternity. And we should be responding accordingly, my brothers. That's what I, and sisters, that's what I want you to understand. Okay, let's go now to the next instruction. We're going to go to instruction number, it's instruction number 90, and it's Psalm 66, and we're going to look at verse 1. Psalm 66, and it's going to be just one verse, and this is what I want you to take from this or think about this. And the verse is at this particular time identical to the text. Make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. And that is what the text says. Psalm 66, verse 1 says, make a joyful noise unto God, all ye lands. And my brothers and sisters, that is critical, because the Lord God Almighty is looking for worship and praise. This is what we found when we first looked at the previous instruction, where God is seeking those who will worship him in spirit and in truth. That is critical. Voicing is part of that worship, that joyful noise. And this is what the book of Revelation says about that in Revelation chapter 5, verse 9 through 14. This is what the book of Revelation tells us in comparing and agreeing. And they sang a new song, saying, thou art worthy to take the book and to open the seals thereof, for thou wast slain and hast redeemed us to God by the blood out of every kindred and tongue and people and nation. Jesus Christ was slain for our sins so that we could have salvation. Verse 10 says, and he has made us unto our God priests and kings, and we shall reign on the earth. We have become a kingdom of priests. And that is to glorify God for the rest of the experience we have eternally. Verse 11 says, and I beheld and I heard the voice of many angels round about the throne, and the beasts and the elders, and the number of them was 10,000 times 10,000 and 10,000 1,000. It's going to be innumerable, my brothers and sisters, as David was told, as the sands of the sea. Verse 12 says, saying with a loud voice, worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing. We're going to worship and praise God all the day long. And every creature which is in heaven and on the earth and under the earth, and such as are in the sea and all that are in them, heard I saying, blessing and honor and glory and power be unto him that sitteth upon the throne and unto the Lamb forever and ever. And the four beasts said, amen. And the 24 elders fell down and worshiped him that liveth forever and ever. That is the comparison, my brothers and sisters. That is what we will be doing, making that joyful noise forever and ever and ever. And so this is what it should mean to us spiritually in our lives, that worship and praise glorifies God, and he demands it from his creation. And that is why worship and praise is so significant in our fellowship when we come corporately together and worship and praise. Okay, that concludes the lesson for this evening. And in behalf of our host and myself, I would like to thank you for your participation and appreciation. Good night.
Thank you for joining us for Basic Instructions Before Leaving Earth, BIBLE, Blog Talk Radio Talk Show Program. Hope you were blessed by our program. Please join us every Wednesday at 7 p.m. for Basic Instructions Before Leaving Earth, BIBLE.